The Business News Hour is brought to you by the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the economic and community development organization serving Central Iowa, DesMoinesMetro.com, and Arion Technology, HR and contact center solutions, all under one roof at AUREON.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. We're about to share a story with you that you will find absolutely shocking. You know, you are not put in places on accident. Sometimes you are in places and you meet people and you know you were meant to have that happen. With us in studio is Mark McCullough. He is the president of the Iowa Emergency Medical Services Association. He and I met each other under the Golden Dome at the Iowa Legislature a couple of weeks ago, and we entered into this conversation that absolutely surprised and shocked me. And I'm not going to let him or let myself try to tell you what's going on, but I certainly want Mark to do that. Mark, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have
you
here.
Thanks.
We don't do politics on the Business News Hour, but we talk about things that impact business and impact our communities. And surely the story that you're about to tell us is impactful for our communities, not only urban, but also rural. What's going on with emergency medical services in Iowa? How do we stand? Who funds this? And how do you guys make it from day to day?
Sure. Well, it depends on where you are. There are so many different delivery models for EMS in the state of Iowa. There are municipal services, third services, some that are combined with fire departments, nonprofit agencies, hospital-based EMS, private EMS. There's so many different delivery models, which are funded on their own.
But they have that in common.
They have that in common.
They may be different delivery models, but they have one thing in common. That's self-funding?
Self-funding.
All right. Now let's break this down a little bit, because this is, I can get in trouble really quick. So I live in the beautiful village of Windsor Heights, and our fire chief is a great guy. The fire department, everybody loves him. They put on pancake suppers, you know, and it's just a great deal. So if someone in that community is having an incident and they call 911, and out come the police, and they usually send a fire truck, and they send the EMS services there, how's all that get paid for?
Well, the city of Windsor Heights,
yes,
is making that commitment to their citizens to provide those services. Some of those are reimbursed through billing the patient, their insurance company, Medicare or Medicaid. And also through those pancake breakfasts.
Okay. Is that any way to run a system? So let's go outside of the metro, and let's say I'm in Boone or Mason City. Talk to me about that.
Sure. Our rural communities are really what I'm most concerned with. Our urban centers have made the commitment, again, to their citizens to provide these services through the city budget. But in rural areas, we just don't have that. And to add to the fire of my concern, we have aging responders. Many of our volunteer providers in the state have been here for 30 years.
Oh, my.
They're in their 50s, 60s, even in their 70s. These are people who are responding to 911 calls. They're extremely dedicated. They are the quintessential volunteer serving their communities. But they're getting to the point where they're going to retire. And we don't have a lot of young providers stepping in to take that role. So I'm really concerned, and I think some places in the state are starting to see the effects of this, where the local providers, the local coverage is just not there.
Just disappearing. All right. So if there's so many facets to this, and I'm just finding all of this hard to believe, because most citizens, I think, just think, hey, you call 911, somebody shows up, and yeah, it's all part of the greater living experience to wherever you live. But that's not maybe how it goes.
Right. We compare it to electricity. You don't really think about it until you turn the light switch and it doesn't come on.
Yeah.
And now, there, through our administrative rules, a regional EMS agency must provide you with some coverage. And there are no places in the state that are uncovered.
Okay.
But what that means is if that local agency is unavailable to respond, they've made a mutual aid agreement or some type of agreement with a neighboring jurisdiction to send their ambulance to get you. Now, you'll get an ambulance, but it
may... Response time.
And we have to decide, we have to figure out what is the expectation of Iowa. I know in Windsor Heights, you, you call, you expect an ambulance in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, actually, response time there is under 3.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah.
That is unrealistic in our entire state. We, you know, in the middle of Adams County, not just to think of one, geographically, that 3-minute response time is impossible.
Right.
But we have to figure out where that threshold is and what we consider acceptable and what we consider a response time that we need to do something about.
Well, even we don't have to go that far. You know, we can go to Story City, Iowa. Story City, Iowa is in Story County. And it's, 12, 15 miles away from Ames. And if Story County EMS or Story City EMS is busy on Interstate 35 and there's a medical emergency someplace else in the city, Mary Greeley maybe or somebody.
Somebody. So, right.
All right. So what's the answer to this, Mark? Mark McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, he is with the Iowa EMSA. That's the Iowa medical emergency medical services association. What do you want? What's your wish list here?
If I had the one home run answer, I'd be working on it. It's such a complicated issue because there are so many delivery models, because providing service is so expensive. There's not a single magic bullet that can fix this problem. But what I think we need to begin with and what we're doing here is education. And get the ideas out to Iowans. There's a lot of great minds in Iowa that can help us with this problem. And just make that awareness, because you're right. I don't think Iowans understand that, especially in our rural communities. When you pick up a phone to dial 911, you expect an ambulance. And it you'll get one, but it may be 40 minutes.
Well, the other really striking thing about this is how much comes from the state of Iowa to fund EMS?
Very little. There's a few... there's some grant administration, but there's no tax money that comes to us.
All right. And again, we don't do politics on the Business News Hour, but, this is kind of caught me off guard. This whole conversation, when I first met you a couple of weeks ago, I was going, this cannot be true. Yet Iowa, we just had a news story today, just today, that, over in, Norwalk, they're going to be the state has granted a gift, if you will, a tax reduction to an egg processing facility that's going to move there. And it's expected that the city is going to also pony up all kinds of money in tax reimbursement levels. And we can't seem to fund something like this.
Yeah, you know, we require our local jurisdictions to provide certain services. Police, they do provide law enforcement. They provide fire protection. They mandate that we adjudicate fence post boundary disputes.
Right. There you go.
Now, when you talk about all those services that your government can provide, and if you group EMS into that, I think that most Iowans would say, you know, if you had to pick the top three or the top four.
Yeah, hello.
I think I'm biased, but I like to think EMS would be in that group.
Back in the old days, and I had some time with this. As a matter of fact, when I was going to college, I worked at a county receiving hospital in Detroit. Okay,
wow.
Yeah, wow, wow.
Yeah.
And you know who our emergency response people were back in the 1960s, early 1970s? Sometimes hospitals, yes. Oftentimes funeral homes,
yes.
Funeral homes,
right,
were the answer to ambulances at that time.
That highlights a really unique thing about EMS, is that we're newcomers to this scenario. This is a phenomenon in the last 30 to 40 years, this pick up the phone and get an ambulance.
Right.
Police and fire have been around for hundreds of years. They're well established as services. EMS is new. We've only been on the books since 1979.
Mark McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, he is with the Iowa Emergency Medical Services Association. How many members in the association? You got a bunch all over the place?
We have about 1,200 members,
okay,
in our association.
And with regard to the association, and you were at the Capitol asking legislators to do what?
Help us with the delivery of EMS in the state. Help us find funding. Help us increase our reimbursement. And help us take the burden off of our responders for funding.
I would imagine you were getting a pretty sympathetic ear from our rural.
Absolutely.
In particular, our rural legislators.
Absolutely.
Because they know the problem that's out
there.
They
do. They do.
Mark McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, just a stunning thing. When you break this down, and you know, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of stuttering around here because I just always thought everything was a deal. You know, it was all wrapped up into one package with a pretty bow on it, but it's apparently not that way. Now, some communities here in the metro, and West Des Moines happens to be one of those communities, it sets your EMS service aside. So you're not part of the fire department. You're not part of the police department. You're a separate entity.
Right. That's called a third service. There are others in the state, others throughout the country that do that.
Now, you guys don't do this out of the goodness of your heart. How do you get funded in West Des Moines?
Well, city. So the city has made that commitment. We also seek reimbursement from our patients for services that we provide.
Okay.
So when we provide the ambulance service, we bill insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, and recover some costs
so
that way.
So the follow-up question to that is, does that happen in every community in the metro?
Or in the metro?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay. So we have just gone to privatization of Medicaid. Are you guys getting paid?
Not quickly.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask because we threw it out there.
So one of the things we're asking for this year on that legislative day on the Hill is a federal subsidy to Medicaid reimbursement. So it can cost ambulance companies, depending on where they're at and how many trips they run a year. I'm throwing these numbers, very, very rough numbers, between $600 and $1,200 per call.
Per call.
That's what the cost of readiness is. When we bill Medicaid for an ambulance run, we typically recover for that service about $121 plus $261 a mile. So it does not cover our costs.
Right.
This ground emergency medical transport federal subsidy is federal money that we can access through Department of Human Services to recover at least up to our cost.
Mark McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, some fascinating insight into EMS services here in the metro and particularly in rural Iowa. Mark, thank you for doing this. I wish we had another 15 minutes because I've got more questions. You'll have to come back. We'll do this again.
Sure.
All right, Mark McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, he is the president of the Iowa Emergency Medical Services Association. I think that is probably the surprise of the week, if not the month, of February. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Good luck to you. All right. We got to clear out because it is nigh on to 6 o'clock. And that's what time we turn into pumpkins around here. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour is Jimmy Olson. The program director for the radio stations is Patrick Wood. The music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett exclusively for the Business News Hour. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer, and the general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group is Jeff Delvo. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening, would you please? We'll be back, God willing, tomorrow at 5 o'clock with more of the Business News Hour. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.